Welcome to the Lord's house today. We are glad that you are here. We trust that your heart has come prepared to worship the Lord, come prepared to lift up His praise and His name. And we stand upon the foundation of God's holy word. There is no other foundation for a Christian. Now we know that Christ, of course, is the cornerstone. He is the great foundation, and upon the Word incarnate, Christ, based upon His own holy Word and revelation, we come with joy and with the anticipation of God's blessing. That's why we have come to worship Him today. Let's do so by singing, "How Firm a Foundation." When we come to that point of, well, recognizing that there are deep waters, not only in front of us, but maybe the ones you're going through right now, there is no greater solace, no greater encouragement or foundation, but to realize that we are not walking or swimming there alone. It is God who is with us. It is He who is the one holding us up. It's not just a life vest that may get waterlogged over time. It is the life vest of eternal and sovereign grace. It's the life vest of Christ's never failing grace and atonement. What joy we have when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie. My grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose. Yes, that is the comfort and the great certainty leaning on Him. Let's sing this final verse. Thank you. Let's still our hearts, please, now before the Lord in prayer, and come to Him with joy and with worship on our hearts. Father, today we still ourselves in Thy holy presence. And we come, Lord, at the very commencement of our time of worship and praise and the study of the Scripture, seeking for that necessary help of the Holy Spirit to enable us, to give us strength where we are weak, to give us insight where we are darkened, to give us hope, Lord, when there may be a soul cast down, to give us physical strength where there is weakness, to give us supply, Lord, where there is lack. And Father, all of these things we know have been granted to us through the Spirit of God and through the merit and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful we bow in His holy name. We're thankful, Lord, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thankful today that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, as we think about this great truth, we go back in our own minds to the day in which we were saved, the day in which the Spirit of God convicted us of our sin, Lord, and we were undone, we were empty and lost. And yet Christ found us. And He found us in our sin, in our helpless and hopeless state. And Father, He lifted us up. He raised us up to life and hope and eternal comfort. I pray that today we will stand into those great spiritual blessings, that we will not be distracted by the temptations or suggestions of the wicked one. Silence the devil, we pray, Lord, in our lives, in our work. Keep his filthy hands away from us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be beacons of light, of holiness, of truth in our day. Lord, we want just to be reflectors of Christ and of His beauty and holiness and love. I pray that we will also be reflectors of His holy life, that we will not be tainted, Lord, by the things of this present evil age, by the contemporary spirit of our time, of those forces that are pulling very forcefully against us and against the Word, that we would be on the straight and narrow in the center of Thy holy will. This is what we're asking for, Father. And I pray that as we have gathered in the house of worship and praise today, that every one with a need, a burden, some concern in heart, would just come by faith and cast that unto the Savior. Lord, today, some are gathered in this building, watching online, who are without Christ. They do not know Him. They do not have peace in their heart. The sins have not been washed away. Oh, they may have heard the story many times, Lord. They may have been brought up in places where they have heard the gospel, but yet still they have not settled and sealed that point of faith with Christ. May this day be the day of beginning for them. May this day be a day of salvation, a day of hope, a day of certainty that they are saved by matchless grace. And dear Lord, for any in our gathering who made a profession some time ago, but today they do not have peace or assurance in their heart because the devil has been chipping away at their hearts. Lord, I pray that they will come into the light of the full assurance of their salvation, that they will rest completely in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, to realize that we are justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, remember today hearts that are sad and grieving. We think of our sister Norma today and we pray for her. We ask that You would be very near to her and her family at this time of their loss. I pray for our sister Ann Rogerson, as her mom is very, very ill. You would bless her today and many other sick ones connected with us. We think of our brother Tony Puccini. We pray for Thelma and John Watson. Remember, Lord, the elderly who have not been at the service for a long time and they cannot be because it's just not physically possible. Bless and encourage and lift them up where they are. We pray for our brother Richard Teo today, that You would encourage his heart and bless him. Our brother Ron, bless him and encourage him. Father, so many others, and we have not mentioned their names, Lord. We do so in heart, and You know every concern, every need. Lord, supply abundantly, we pray, out of the riches of Your sovereign and abundant grace. Remember our land. Oh, Lord, we need help. Our leaders need help. They need to be restrained from their wicked ways, and they need to be directed in the path of righteousness and truth. And Lord, if they will not go there on their own, then lead them inexorably by Your grace and purpose, that they will do according to Your mind and sovereign will. Lord, bless all of our missionaries. Remember those who are serving in far-off places away from their homes. Protect them, watch over them. Remember our pulpits and churches that don't have pastors and under-shepherds at this time. Supply their need and bless them abundantly. And so, Father, hear our prayer today. Encourage us, lift us up. Let us go forward from strength to strength. For we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's praise God again, please, with number 502, if you're using our hymnal at home, Unto the Hill Around. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 121. You will recognize the words as we begin to sing. Let's stand to worship. Turn, please, now to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We know that God will bless His own precious and this very familiar portion of the Word of God to our hearts today. Welcome. We're glad to have you this morning in the Lord's house, and we're very thankful that some who have not been able to be here for a while have returned and come back again, and we're very, very happy to welcome you all, and we trust that God would encourage your heart and lift you up today, and we certainly want to welcome everyone who's viewing our service online, and we want to ask you to please let us know, send us a text or an email. We could have record of your stay with us today, but you're very, very welcome in the Savior's precious name. We want to extend our sincere condolences to our sister Norma Wilson. We have been praying much for her and for our brother Jim, her husband. And just recently, Jim had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We learned very sadly that he passed away just yesterday. And we want to remember the family very much in our prayers. We want to ask you to remember Norma and Shirley, her daughter, and Peter, her son, that the Lord would give help in all the details that must take place, putting that together in the next couple of days. We don't have the arrangements yet, but when we do, we'll send out an email to all the congregation at that time. Please also remember our sister Anne Rogerson. Her mother is also very, very ill, and it seems very near to the time of her death. And so please remember Anne in your prayers. We have several in our congregation we have been praying for and asking for the Lord's blessing and hand to be upon them. We think of Ted Glynn today. Want to ask for your prayer, your continuing prayers for Ted. He is improving, doing better, and we are thankful for that. Praying for Isabel. Remember Tony Puccini and Grace. We hold them up to the Lord earnestly in prayer. Remember also our sister Hyacinth and Clifton. Hyacinth, she phoned just on Friday and wanted to be remembered to the entire congregation. She misses everyone. She's looking forward to getting back to the services again. And Clifton has gone through just a procedure. He had one done recently, and he has to go through another one, and they've advised them just to sit tight until he gets that procedure done before they come out into gatherings of people. So we're going to just continue to hold them up before the Lord. We've been praying for our sister Thelma Watson. Thelma, well, she was near death about a month ago. It was a very serious, a critical situation, actually. And she wrote a card. I read it Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, but I want to read it again for the benefit of the whole congregation. She writes this note looking back to a month. She said, "As I opened my eyes on that morning, I was being helped into the ambulance stretcher. My body functions were low, and I was off to the hospital. The doctor and the paramedics had given up on me and said that they'd keep me in the hospital until I passed away, or they will send me home to die with my family and loved ones. But thanks be to Almighty God, He had other plans, because He was not finished with me as yet. I just want to thank Almighty God for His grace and mercy. I want to thank you for all your love and prayer, and I also want to thank my church family for rallying around me, and my loving family, especially my dear son Richard. Let all remain faithful until Almighty God comes or calls us home." Well, today is Thelma's 90th birthday, right on the day. And so we wish our dear sister Thelma a very blessed birthday, and we thank God for His hand upon her to continue that work. And indeed, the Lord is not done with her. And the very fact that card was written by, in her own handwriting, I know you can't see it, but that's her own handwriting, and the Lord has kept her here for a bit longer to encourage us and to keep us going in our journey and walk and service for the Master. So let's remember these things before the Lord. This past week has been the week of our camp down in the United States in Pennsylvania for our North American church. And we've mentioned to you, very sad that our Canadian young people have not been able to attend. But do pray, please, that the word that was spoken throughout the course of this week and all the devotional times in the opportunities of worship and just the one-on-one contacts, that the Lord would sow that seed deeply in the heart of the youth, and His Spirit would move powerfully in every heart, and that the blessing that we pray for those who are at the camp would spill over into all of those in our own nation, our own churches, that they would not be missing out on any of that blessing as well. God would watch over them and encourage them. Also, there's the upcoming mission trip that's going down to Orlando to our church there to do some practical work of construction and renovation work. So do remember that's coming up the first full week of August. Our service this afternoon, our prayer time at 5:50, will be downstairs in person and also on Zoom. And then 6:30, our evening service today. And I would encourage you to remember that in prayer. And then also this coming Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time will be at 7:30, both in person and online. Do remember, please, our churches without pastors. I'm thinking specifically of Cloverdale today, because right when our service concludes here, I'll be joining up and taking the service via Zoom for the Cloverdale people. Brother Andrew Fitton, Pastor Reverend Andrew Fitton, he is not pastoring per se now. He's living in Calgary, but he has just completed 3 weeks of services there in person in Cloverdale. And so do pray that the word preached would be a blessing to the people. And then today I am with them via Zoom. And then next, for the next 3 weeks, Reverend Paul Backers from Calgary will be visiting on his holidays, sort of a working holiday, and he'll be preaching for them in Cloverdale. Those are some important things, please, to remember. Well, as we give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, we do so with joy and a sense of a spirit of worship. And if God is directing you to do that, the offering plate is on the table as you leave out in the foyer. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 500, and it is "Be Still, My Soul." Remain seated while we sing. Let me ask you to turn now, please, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge thee the quick, the living, and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it will not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Let's ask the Lord, please, to help us now. Father, as we have the Word open, once more we ask for help in the delivery of this Word. so that it will come with power and application by the Spirit to all our hearts. Lord, take away silly distractions. Take away mindless wandering. And I pray that there will be a Holy Spirit focus given to every heart. Hear our prayer now. Give me strength, the anointing of heaven, to speak the Word of God faithfully. I ask now, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to please speak to you from verse 17, the first half of this verse this morning, with these words: notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The title for this word today would simply be this: when God stands near. When God stands near. The account in 2 Timothy 4 is the Apostle Paul coming near the end of his turbulent life. It had been one of spiritual heights, of thrilling victories, but also some crushing disappointments. Among the final words of exhortation to Timothy, he challenged him to preach the Word. What a great challenge to every young preacher, aspiring evangelist, to every worker. Preach the Word of God. It is the only message that is a message of hope, of truth, of life to a lost world. Let us in all things that we think or seek to accomplish in this life to be men and women who are careful about handling the Word of truth and of presenting the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said to Timothy, be ready for every opportunity in every changing situation. Building the work of God, it would not be easy. People will not receive, he said, sound doctrine, faithful teaching, but they will turn from the truth to believe fables. Is that not always a striking thing? You look at the world and you see how that people in the world will believe the strangest, the stupidest, the most bizarre things. They will imbibe and take that into their mind. But the truth of God, they will not accept. They will reject that. But this did not mean that Timothy, because some would reject the truth and believe fables and strange myths, that he should give up on preaching. No, not at all. He should rather give evidence that he was truly a servant of Christ by enduring afflictions, by preaching the gospel of free and sovereign grace. And he was commanded also to be watchful in all things. Don't be drawn in. Don't be taken by things that are bogus. No, be watchful, be alert, be always looking for how the enemy will bring his deceptive things. Now Paul was near the end. Yes, coming to the end of his life. He had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. And God had set before him that he was now ready to go, ready to receive the crown of righteousness and be welcomed into glory. Ah, believer, your work and your time will not come to an end on this earth until you have finished your course. Seek that God would enable you to fulfill your course. Get on it if you're not on it yet. Get on the course of the will of God and serve Him with all your devotion and mind and soul, and that you will be able to say, as Paul did, when it comes near to the end, well, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for you. What would Paul say? He would say, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I would live them all for Christ. I would give them all for Him. And yet there was a tinge of sadness as you read through this chapter. The sadness was that he was now very much alone in Rome, in prison. He spoke about those who he had been with, thinking back in his mind of churches that he had founded, of people that he had led to Christ, of those who he had discipled, those who were promising disciples and preachers of the Word. But now he's alone in prison, and he says only faithful Dr. Luke is with him. Those who once stood had fallen. Demas had forsaken him and the gospel with those fearful words, having loved this present world. Oh, friend, be ever watchful that you don't turn back from serving and following the living God by the baubles of this world, by a few coins that may be thrown at your feet to pick them up, and forsake the Lord and go back away from God into the things of this world. No, never allow the idea or the identity of Demas to be put to our account. Much of this that Paul faced in these sobering words, I think of them as being a bit of a recipe for giving up. I don't know how you would feel about it. But when you look back and you look around sometimes, there are many things to discourage us. And sometimes you feel like just throwing the towel in, as the saying goes. Give up on preaching, give up on testifying, give up on witnessing. Why keep going? Because there seems to be so little increase. So many have turned away. And Paul now in his, well, somewhat difficult days. And yet, no, it was not a thought of giving up for the apostle. Not at all. In fact, he was saying to Timothy, don't even allow the thought to come into your mind. Preach the word. Keep on going. Keep on serving. Keep on suffering. Whatever it might be. And the apostle Paul exclaims with a heroic shout of victory, after stating all who had left him and all that had opposed him, Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil, and he had opposed his words. And yet Paul says in verse 17, notwithstanding, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. This is the word of a man who had proved God in every changing scene and circumstance of his life. Here, my friends, was the voice of triumph. It wasn't the voice of defeat. It wasn't the voice of someone who was ready just to lie down and die and it was all over. No, he was realistic in observing what had happened, but he also was able to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture was this, that no matter what happened, God stood with me. Christ was by my side. And He strengthened me. Oh, friend, living for Christ, for our Master and Lord, it is worth it all. There is nothing this world can offer that we could put in the balance to say, oh, I'm very glad that I gave my life for something other than the gospel of Christ. There are some things I believe we can learn to encourage us from this statement today. And the first thing would be that the abiding presence of Christ gives perspective to every situation. The abiding presence of Jesus, it helps me to see things clearly, to have the right perspective. seeing things as they really are. It's so important, you know, in order to make the right choice. If we don't see something clearly, well, it will cause us to stumble, to trip. I don't know if you've ever put on a pair of those 3D glasses. Certain movies or films that are three-dimensional, they give you these glasses to put on, and I've worn them at different times. And if you put them on and try to then walk in the normal situation of life, everything is distorted. And you go to put your hand on something, and it's not where you think it is. Instead of being here, it's actually over here. And so everything is out of place. When you look through binoculars backwards, things are distorted. You can't see things in the right perspective. Something seems to be very far away when actually it is quite close to you. But when you turn the binoculars the other way, and you know what I'm talking about, something that is far away appears to be very close to you, and you almost can reach out and touch it. But the perspective of using binoculars or those 3D glasses, they are not true. They are actually false. The word here that is translated notwithstanding, it's kind of an awkward word used by our translators. The word itself means being no hindrance, not standing in the way. I think you can figure that out almost from it, notwithstanding. So you're not standing in the way of something. But the Greek word is much simpler. And we could translate it but, or yet, maybe however. So if you were to think about what Paul said in verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that will not be laid to their charge. However, but the Lord stood with me. Yes, my friends, that's the heart of what is being communicated here. It was in light of everything he had suffered and everything that he was presently facing that he said these words of comfort and of security. But you know, he said them with such confidence to know that God was not only with him, but that the Savior stood by his side. It was more than the most profound reasoning. It gave purpose to every single providence that Paul faced. The pleasing ones, those are okay. But what about the hard ones? That's where this comes down to, you know. To have the right perspective on providences that are not easy to understand and so confusing in our lives. But when we know that Christ is standing by our side, it helps us to see things in the right way. Having God's perspective on life is what is the most important thing. Because you know what it does for us? It is a calming, satisfying experience and a feeling, and it gives us meaning to our life. And I will say to you that this truth, it propelled Paul. It encouraged him to keep going and not to surrender to the lie of the devil in the face of all the rejection he had faced and all the setbacks and all of the hostilities. Paul was beaten 5 times with 40 stripes, save one. He suffered a great deal. You know, that's not even recorded when necessarily he was beaten. In all the accounts of Acts and through the epistles, we don't have the specific times where it's recorded that Paul was beaten. But
when we learn this in a summary fashion, as he states it in Corinthians, five times he was beaten with 200 times almost. He was beaten with rods or whips on his back. Lacerations. His back would have been opened and bleeding. And why did he suffer all that? Because he was preaching the gospel of free and sovereign grace. That's why. Because he was opposing those who were going down the religion of Judaism. Yes, friend. He suffered many, many setbacks. But when Paul knew that his Lord was standing right at his side, it helped him to see clearly the issues of life. I know that Paul, by his own record, had seen the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and he was also taken up into the third heaven. And he witnessed things that he was unable to talk about. He was called by God as the apostle to the Gentiles, and he began the spread of the gospel across the entire world. With such a resume, there was maybe some room for him to be a little bit elated with himself, a bit puffed up inside. He had authority. He would say to the churches, either you fix the problem, or when I get there, you will see my authority and I will fix the problem. Paul used his apostolic authority when it was necessary, but he did not just blandish it about. He did not just boast about this. He had been given a great charge by the Lord. And yet the Lord also put him down into the depths, down into those times where he was shipwrecked, the great apostle floating on a piece of wood in the middle of the ocean. He went through so many things, and yet he was prepared when he got to the island. He just went out and started gathering sticks like everybody else was doing. He wasn't too high above that. He did the work like everybody else did. You remember the time when he gathered up those sticks and a viper came out of there and bit him, and he just shook it off. And everybody watched and thought he's going to die now, because even though he didn't drown in the sea, some mystery is going to get him now. Paul was there just serving, just working. He was just one of them. He didn't think of himself above everybody else. He was willing to submit himself unto the Lord, because he knew that his Master and Lord was with him at all times. My friend, when we have come to the point in our life and experience when we have been on the receiving end of complaints or bitternesses or rejection, let us not turn ourselves and be sullen and weep against the wall as wicked Ahab did, pouting because we didn't get our own way. No. Let us always see things through that perspective of God in heaven. Because when we do, the Lord we know is standing by us. Think about Paul being in prison with absolutely nothing with him. He requested a piece of clothing. Bring my coat, my cloak. His body was cold. But he wanted more than anything the books and the parchments. Here was a man who was suffering rejection because of Christ, following in the very pattern of his Lord. And yet what do, friend? We complain about the simplest things that we don't have, or maybe the smallest problems. Let us realize that So often we have a narrow view of life. Let us view life in the right perspective, not in such a restricted way, but in a more open way. To view that whatever cause we are going through, whatever distress is happening to us, to some degree it will be used by the Lord for His honor and for His glory. And that we will realize that the Lord is working in us and through us for His own will and greater plan. Please note the second lesson we can learn here is that when all others forsake us, our Lord remains the confidence of our hearts. It's one thing to be strong when the opposition comes from the outside and from circumstances beyond our control. But it's quite another thing, brothers and sisters, you know this, quite another thing when it comes from those who are close, are near, those whom we thought would support maybe. And that's when the hurt comes, and you've all experienced it at some degree or another. Those who you tend to have leaned on, and you found that it has not been the support that you expected. It hurts. It often cuts very deep to the heart. Paul had taught and led many, and he would learn the disappointment of promising disciples and preachers turning away from the Lord. This could disillusion a man about the reality of the gospel. Here's Paul preaching and telling people there is liberation, there is hope, there is deliverance in the gospel message, as every faithful preacher will tell. And yet he comes to this juncture in his life and he realizes that that person's gone and this person's fallen away and something else has happened over here. The Galatian church has imbibed false doctrine. And the apostle would almost say, Lord, has all my preaching been in vain? Is it all empty? What's the point of it all? When all others, my friends, have forsaken, the confidence of knowing that Christ is standing by our side, it gives us a confidence that cannot be replaced by any other thinking. Paul tells us in verse 16 that he was virtually alone. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. It's not quite clear exactly what Paul is referring to in this. It may well be that he had a first court appearance in Rome when he was brought there on trial. We think back to other times when he was standing before he was ever shipped off to Rome. You remember he was before Felix. He was before Agrippa. But whatever it is referring to, the fact is that Paul was standing there in isolation. He was standing there a lonely man, no one else with him, like Luther before the Diet of Worms. I've never been in that situation, friend, really. I don't know if you ever have. Having to stand and give answer for your faith when everyone in front of you is your enemy, everyone is opposed to you, and you're ready to have the axe raised over your neck. Paul knew what it was to be forsaken and stand alone. But in this he was bearing the reproach of Christ. He was learning what his Lord had suffered, having been rejected by all who were near him. We know that every one of the apostles forsook the Savior and left him. And he was alone as he was before Caiaphas in that kangaroo court, as he was being beaten and whipped before he was nailed to a cross. Our Lord endured all of this alone for you and for me. And so the apostle is given a little taste of what that was like, of suffering for his master. But you know, the confidence that he had was knowing that through the times of his greatest difficulty, the Lord was standing by His side. Now, some of you might say, well, if the Lord was standing so near to Him, why did He not stop the suffering? Why did He not stop the beatings? Well, friend, to ask such a question, we don't have the full knowledge of the purposes of God and what He is doing in us and through us. And never think the Lord is being unkind when He allows some sort of difficulty to come in our life. Friend, He is training us. He is working in us. He is working so that the world will be torn away from us. So that our dependence will not be on ourselves, because we are so prone to self-sufficiency. We're so prone, friends, to thinking, I can do this myself. I'll go along the road. I can live my life. I don't need help from anyone. As soon as that spirit comes in, the Lord must teach us another lesson to bring us down further and further. And so it was with Paul at times when he had gone through these things. He realized that the Lord was teaching him that when he was weak, then he was strong. When he had suffered so debilitating things, then he knew he was being taught sanctification, the breaking of pride. We all, if we're going to be used of God, we all must go down that road to some degree. Suffering rejection because of a stand for truth, it will be rewarded, friend, by our Father in heaven. In this we reflect the faithfulness of Christ. And the more we are made like Him, the more that our Father will be glorified through us in our lives. Yes, there is the right perspective by the abiding presence of the Lord. There is the confidence that the Lord stands with us in every time of our need. But we learn thirdly that with Christ standing at our side, we have no need to fear. We have no need to fear any evil. There was plenty to fear in a natural sense where Paul was. It was a hostile place. Rome was no friend to Christianity. Even though Paul had been in jail before in Philippi, other places, yet this was a new time of jail. And remember, friends, it brings new temptations and new trials of testing. And that's how the devil works, you know. He works through fear. The devil works through power, control. And when a Christian is taken with fear, our eyes are not on the Lord then. Our eyes are on our circumstances. But God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We read in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Because death is only a shadow to the child of God, death has no power over us spiritually and eternally. The body will die, but our spirit will never die. We have no cause to fear. And the presence of Christ walking with us, standing by our side, who is our constant companion, our never-failing friend, it means that we have never a reason to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? When we are in the depths, as the psalmist was, we noted on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, Psalm 130, out of the depths he cried unto God. When you're in the depths, know this, that there is hope for the child of God. And the hope is that God is standing with you. We can be still and know that He is God. The hymn writer wrote these words, "I present you to Jesus. He will share all your burdens, be your constant companion. He will light up your pathway, and His mercy He'll prove. Though the storm clouds may gather and the stars fall from heaven, though the mountains be shaken and be moved out to sea, He will never forsake you. In His arms He will take you. I present you to Jesus. He your Savior will be." Friend, you know Him today. Are you saved by His grace? Have you called on His name in repentance and faith? Don't delay. Don't wait. Now is the accepted time. And when you ask the Lord to come into your heart, you will know the eternal, abiding presence of the Lord of heaven standing with you, standing by you. Yes, His abiding presence gives you perspective, gives you confidence, gives you a fearlessness. In the fourth place, the promise of God's strength is fused with His presence. For Paul said in the second half, he said, "And strengthened me." What a word of confidence this is. It certainly, that Paul had the certainty he had of the presence of God, it reinforced these simple yet powerful words. "And He strengthened me." It almost seems to me like an add-on. He said, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." But what a blessed and glorious add-on, if it is such a thing. The word "strengthen" here, it means to empower, to enable. It's a word that means to position yourself in order to enable someone or something. So if something is a little bit tipsy or falling over, and you come and you shore up that with your shoulder, and you're standing there, well, that's what it means. You are enabling. You are shoring up. You're strengthening. When it's applied to the Lord, it takes on a vastly different and exceedingly greater meaning. Why? Because it is divine power that is giving to us support. Friend, think about what that means. The Lord is the one who is your everlasting, divine, and eternal support. He is strong. He is strong beyond all of our imagination. When I was a young teen of 14, I was working for a man who was a contractor, construction job. It was just a summertime thing. But in the certain jobs he was doing, using heavy steel pry bars and large sledgehammers. And as a young boy, it was impressive to me, as he was using this big steel bar, I asked him, could you hold that bar straight out like this with one arm? He said, "What, this bar?" he says. He picked it up and he just held it out like that. And I thought to myself, wow, that guy is strong, man. I would like to be like that guy someday, to be able to do that. Because as a young boy, I looked at that, and that to me was an example, an evidence of someone who was very strong. About the heaviest thing I could lift was my fork, and I could manage that all right. It's good to know, friends. It's good to know our limitations, and not to take too much upon ourselves. to depend upon our own strength and ability will not end up well. But to see our strength in the Lord out of our weakness, it's the right place to be in. Paul was there when he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." He knew what that was like. When our Savior is standing by us, there's no need to fear and every reason to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The fusing of God's strength with His presence, it's a truth that gives us great confidence. We're able to go through anything then, friend. Anything. Is that our perspective today? We can say at that point, no matter what the devil brings to us, there's no surrender in my life before God. Let that be the watchword for every believer, that we will stand upon the truth of God, because we know it's not our power that enables us to stand. It is the far greater power of the strength of our God with us. I leave you with one final thing for us to learn today. With the knowledge of Christ's presence, we can face every battle and disappointment, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, we have the strength of God. We have Christ's strength. But to know that He will never depart from me. Sometimes, you know, you've probably played a trick on somebody when they come up and they lean on you, and then you move away one step and the next thing they kind of topple over a bit. But the Lord will never do that to us. He has promised to be our support, our everlasting support. The Lord will not play games with us. The everlasting arms of the eternal God are underneath us, friend. And Christ has promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can come to the end of our life journey as Paul did and say, "I know there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, ready for me, and I am ready to go. Because my God has stood with me through every scene of life, and He will not forsake me when it comes to death. I am brought into His eternal home." This was a very similar word that God gave to Joshua, you know. He said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Joshua had many battles to face, and while his were more military, they give us a very clear picture that the devil is behind every opposition to God. And whether physical for us or spiritual or a combination of the both, let's realize that every conflict for truth and for God, He has promised to be by our side. What's He going to do by our side? He is going to enable me. He is going to encourage me. He's going to equip me. He's going to give me endurance. And these things, my friend, together, they show us that our warfare for the Lord is complete in Him, in the presence of our Lord and King. Therefore, we can say to the Lord today, and we can say in our own spirits, we will not be weary in well-doing. No, we will serve the Lord with gladness and joy. We will realize that the hardness that comes to us in our life is part of a believer's life, part of our experience, in order that we might glorify Him. And we will conclude, "Let my light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our God in glory." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, what great words we have drawn from the Scripture today. I pray that the truth of them would be fastened to every believing heart. Let us take them home with us today. We'll turn them over in our minds and hearts tonight, tomorrow morning, as the day begins a new day of life and work. Let us always be reassured. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Part us now, Lord, in your fear and with rich and mighty blessing, and save precious souls today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.